This is a list of when the meetings are taking place. So we have a lot of meetings this week. There's one today, clearly. Then there's one tomorrow, one on Thursday, and two on Saturday. So please let people know. We were trying to schedule these meetings so that everybody can participate. And again, this is on the website. There's a flyer with the dates and also with the locations. Use the PowerPoint. There will be a different PowerPoint for the second phase, so I will make sure that the new dates are there. But please just use the resources and please tell your neighbors to come out. This is just the draft plan for the second phase of the meeting. So if you want to schedule ahead, I don't have the locations yet, but we will publish the locations as soon as we have them. The website is going to be your best resource to basically find out whether whether the commissioners have scheduled additional meetings, which they may do. So how will the commission decide where to draw the district lines? Clearly, we have like one big map now. And really, at this point, all we know is where the boundaries of the city are, right? So it's a blank screen. The charter of the city contains some criteria that the commission has to use to draw district lines. So the first criterion in the charter is that districts shall have reasonably equal population. So that means that all of the districts have to have roughly the same number of people in them when we're done. So you can't have one district that has 1,000 people in it and another district that has 10,000 people in it. That's not going to work. That would be not a good thing to do. So that's the first thing that they have to look at. Secondly, district boundaries shall be geographically compact and contiguous. So that means compact means that it shouldn't look like the outline of my hand when it's open. So you don't want to see like fingers if you can help it. Compact is basically something that looks more like my fist. Okay? So funny little shapes, not so good. But sometimes you have to have funny little shapes because your district boundaries may just look a little funny. Because the city boundaries look a little funny. So because cities don't look like squares or like rectangles either, as you know. So, contiguity or contiguous just means that all of your districts have to be in one piece. So you can't have half of your district in East Chula Vista and the other half in West Chula Vista. It has to be connected. The third charter criterion is that the district shall follow visible features and boundaries whenever possible. So we don't want to just draw them where nobody knows where they are. So for example, you want to follow a street, that would be a visible boundary, or a creek, or the side of a lake, something like that. That's a visible boundary. Four, districts shall respect communities of interest to the extent practicable. Communities of interest, that's basically partially why we're here. This is a really important criterion for which the commission really needs your input. Because there's no other place where you can find out what the community of interests, what the communities of interests are for a city, other than asking people that live in the city. So that's what we're hoping you're going to help this commission with. And the reason for that is that they don't want to inadvertently, because they don't know where your community is, draw a line through it and split it. They also want to find out which communities could perhaps be put together into a district to make it a good district. So that's really why we need input. So whatever you can tell us about the areas where you live or where you work in Chula Vista, and if you can tell us what the boundaries are for those communities, like tell us what streets are surrounding the areas, that is going to be incredibly helpful for this commission and for this process. And then finally, the commission has to disregard incumbents, candidates, or political parties when they're drawing lines, so basically no politics. This is not going to be a non-political process as much as possible. And these criteria are not ranked, so essentially they have to make sure that all of this is going to be met, and not one criterion is going to be more important than another, except that equal population, so basically all the districts have to have the same size. That's always the most important one, because that's really why we create districts. So very quickly, the U.S. Constitution and equal population, this criterion, comes from the 14th Amendment. It is interpreted to require reasonably equal district populations under one person, one vote. This is probably something that some of you have heard about. It prohibits intentional discrimination, which would be a violation of equal protection. And the 15th Amendment bans racial discrimination in voting. So these are also criteria that will always be factored in. Whether you're districting or you're redistricting, this is the Constitution has to be met. So next, please. I think the formatting got a little messed up here when we I'm sorry about that. We got the formatting messed up when we transferred these the presentation to a different laptop. What is the ideal population for each district? So we were talking about how every district has to have the same number of people in it, roughly. Well, for each type of district, this is the same calculation. You take the total population that the census gave you, and then you divide it by the number of districts, and that gives you the ideal population that you're going to have to end up with. Okay? So for Chula Vista, the total population from the 2010 census was 243,916. So the ideal population for each city council district, because we have four districts, is you take that number, you divide it by four, and then you have your ideal population, and that is 60,979. So that is roughly what we need to end up with. But then, sometimes people say, well, I just participated in the state districting and they were talking about how the districts have to be really equal and you can't have like big different standards there. So with congressional districts, they have to be completely equal. So you can only have like maybe one or two people at the max difference between congressional districts. But for local jurisdictions, like for cities, like for Chula Vista, you have a little bit more flexibility. And that's a really good thing. Because if you have a neighborhood that wants to stay together or a community that wants to stay together, you don't want to have to split them just because you need to have equal population. So basically, there's a little bit of flexibility. But even flexibility has its limits. So if you have too much of a deviation, then somebody can come in and say this is malapportionment. So that's also not a good thing because somebody could sue you over that. Because if you have one very small district, one very big district, the district that has not a lot of people in it, they get more representation basically, right? If you have 10 people in one district, everybody knows a city council member, they're going to respond to you. If you have 100,000 people in a different district, well, they're going to have a lot harder time to get on the phone to that city council member and actually get them to listen to them. That's why we want to have equal population, and that's why we want to make sure that we're kind of within a particular percent range. And that range, that magic number, is plus minus 5%, so not more than that. It would not be advisable. So that means, I did the math for all of us, so that means 60,979, that's the magic number, but plus minus about 3,000 people is okay. Still better to keep small, but that's kind of like the maximum boundary. So then there's the Voting Rights Act. That's obviously a very important act to follow, Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. I'm just going to give you a quick overview. It's obviously a very important and complicated piece of law. What does it do? It prohibits the denial or abridgment of voting rights on the basis of race or language minority. In the Voting Rights Act, a language minority is defined as Asian, Native American, Alaskan Native, or Spanish heritage. And it does not apply to other language groups. It prohibits practices that have the purpose or effect of discriminating on the basis of race or language minority status, and it applies to all jurisdictions that conduct elections. So it doesn't matter where you are and what you've done, this applies to absolutely everybody. And that's always something to keep in mind. Next, please. So in districting, why are we even talking about this in a districting process? In a districting process, the key term... Are you still translating? I want to make sure that the translator can follow me. You okay? Okay. So in a districting context, we talk about vote dilution. So electoral systems can limit the ability to elect a candidate of choice. So that is the magic term in Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, by a protected class of voters in various ways. So for example, at large election systems can make it impossible, even if you have a large minority group, to elect a candidate of choice when the minority votes against them. What we have here right now is, of course, an at-large election system, but Chula Vista has not had a problem electing minority candidates. So that's why we're not in a Section 2 situation at the moment in Chula Vista. So, but I'm giving you this background anyway because it's an important background to have. Single-member districts, that's what we're going to be constructing here. We're going to have a district with one city council member in it, right? So that's called a single-member district. So single-member districts can be drawn in ways that minimize voters' ability to elect a candidate of choice. And so that's usually where people talk about packing and cracking, where you kind of just draw the lines in a way that really makes it difficult for people to get representation. So clearly this is going to be a very public process. We want to be mindful of all the criteria. We want to be mindful of the Voting Rights Act. We want to make sure that there is not going to be any of this happening. So systems that limit ability to elect in this way are said to dilute minority voting strength. Next, please. So very quickly, I have just mentioned this already, a districting plan can dilute minority voting strength through two main ways, which is cracking. And that means that you divide a politically viable population concentration so it doesn't constitute a majority in any of the districts. So basically, if you have a lot of people, a lot of minority members in one area, and you could create districts so that they could elect somebody, but you basically draw the line so that everybody is just in a different district, so that they still cannot elect anybody, that's called cracking. And then there's packing, where you have a high minority population and you put them all into just one district, rather than in perhaps two or three districts where they could still elect somebody because they have that kind of strength in terms of population numbers. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. 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 So I'm going to try to speak slower. So let's go back to the charter criteria, compactness. I've already started to explain it a little bit. So the charter says district boundaries shall be geographically compact. This is about the geography, so what does it look like in the end, right? And there are many different measures. In statistics, you can measure almost anything. So you can also measure whether a district is compact or not. But in general, what courts have done, and usually what people do, is they look at the district and they figure out whether or not it's compact or not. Like, what does it look like? It's the eyeball test, you know. We know it, we don't need statistics. We know if it looks funny or if it doesn't. And if it looks funny, then we need to talk about it and figure out if there's a reason for why it looks funny. And sometimes it looks funny because the underlying geography looks funny. But sometimes it looks funny because there's some funny business going on. So, but this is a public process, so we will figure it out, right? Next, please. Compactness. The courts say that compactness is assumed to guard against all types of gerrymandering. Of course, gerrymandering, that's the term that everybody has heard, right? And that's usually when we think about things that look really funny. And they look funny because they're constructed by usually politicians to meet a particular political purpose. So what the courts have said is, if it looks funny, then we want to kind of know what's going on, so you have to explain more. But drastic departures from compactness are a signal that something may be going on, and that's that funny business that I was just talking about. Next, please. The next charter criterion is contiguity. Again, that's a pretty easy one. So that just says that all parts of the districts have to be connected. So in other words, if you can travel from any one location to any other location in the district, so you can go from one end of the district to the other end of the district without leaving the district, then you probably have a compact district. I mean, a contiguous district, I'm sorry. Next, please. So communities of interest, this is the big one. And this is one, again, where the commissioners really need your help. Because the last two that we just talked about, compactness and contiguity, they can figure that out by themselves because all you have to do is like look at the map and then you know what it looks like and whether or not it's connected, right? This is the big one because that's not something you can just look at some data set and figure it out. So what is it? Community of interest is a geographic area comprised of residents who share similar interests. This comes straight from the charter, including, but not limited to, social, cultural, ethnic, geographic, or economic interests, or formal government or quasi-governmental relationships. And what is it not? Communities of interest cannot include relationships with parties, incumbents, or candidates. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So let's go through what that means. So communities of interest are really defined by the people that live or work in the community, okay? This is not something where somebody can tell you, you don't know, that's just wrong. That's not your community. You are the experts. You are the experts on what that community looks like and kind of what the defining factors are of that community. So it could be pretty much anything. If you're organizing around a school, for example, you know, or around a park, or something like that. Any of these things, if you are working with your neighbors on, say, a particular area because you're not getting services, that can be a community of interest. But it's for you to tell us what your community of interest is because you don't want people to assume. We need you to tell us so that we can really make informed decisions and that the commission can really put people together that should be together in a particular district. So the interests don't have to be limited to like what's going on right now. Like if you're working on something, like for example, you're working on getting a park, or you're working on getting, say, a blighted building or a set of buildings removed or something like that, that's also a community of interest. So it's something that's in the future. You're working on it, you're thinking about making it happen. There are a number of people in your immediate community that are working with you. That can be a community of interest. Tell us about it. So what we need to know, though, from you is where is it? So what is it and where is it? So if you can give us streets or boundaries, that is what we need to know. So just telling us, okay, we're all working on this particular church, we would need to know, you know, the church area and where the people that are working on that project are located. So in order to figure out how to document a community of interest, and we don't want to overwhelm you, okay? There is help available. If this doesn't make sense, we're going to break in a second, and we can talk to you. The commissioners can talk to you. You can talk to each other. There is help available. So if you have any questions about anything in this presentation or anything about this process, please talk to us. Don't be shy. Okay, this is a very complicated process, and everybody here understands that this isn't something that perhaps most people have participated in. So please just ask us. We're here to help, okay? So here's basically what we would like you to do. If you can tell us something about like what's going on in your community, like what bonds your community, like what do you all have in common in your community? Tell us that. And then tell us maybe what's outside of the boundaries of your community. So, you know, if you all are in a particular area and you're working on this, so what happens like if you cross the street? Is there something else going on there, you know? Or maybe are those people just like you and they're also working on things? Could that also be part of your community? And then we would like you to either create a map of the boundaries. So you can like give us a piece of paper that show us the streets. You can go to Google Maps. We have a handout that says how to use Google Maps, and you can create a map. Or you can just basically work with us, and we will write it down for you. But just tell the commissioners, once we go into the official session again, give us public comment, and tell us where your community is, please. The more detail you can give us, the more they have to work with when they are drawing districts. Next, please. Here are some common interests that we have run across when we have done districtings in other jurisdictions or in throughout California. So there are some economic interests that are, you know, could talk about employment. For example, we have high unemployment in a particular area, or we're working to bring employment into a particular area. You could talk about we're working on expanding opportunities for people. We have job training programs, things like that. You could talk about bringing businesses. And then social interests could be about schools, about culture. We have a shared culture. We all come from the same place. Maybe we're all immigrants. Maybe we, you know, we all speak the same language. Things like that. Tell us about this. Transportation and parks, and some of the goals could be like improving recreation opportunities. Like, for example, we've never had a park in this area. We're working on one, or we're trying to get a playground put in, things like that. Next, please. So oftentimes people organize around schools and school districts, transportation hubs, like for example, if there's like some sort of a bus terminal or things like that, community centers, dog parks. And sometimes when people think about race or ethnicity, they're talking about, you know, shared experiences or a shared history. Again, maybe there is an immigration background or issues like that. There may be access or lack of access to education, maybe further like secondary educational opportunities. Sometimes there is a higher number of kids per household, or you have a younger overall population. And shared languages and cultures. Next, please. So, and then finally, ignore politics. So, just whenever you're giving feedback or when the commissioners are drawing lines, this is what you're not to do. You're supposed to basically leave the incumbents or the candidates that may be running for office, even if you know about it, just leave it out of the process, because we want to have a process that's as apolitical as possible. And also, please disregard political parties. And the reason for that is this prohibits an intentional benefit or harm. So you don't want, this is what gerrymandering became famous for, is, you know, people like drawing districts so that their opponent couldn't run in the district because basically the opponent's house was all of a sudden outside of the district. So that's what we're not going to do. Okay. So why should you participate in districting? Well, I think you already know this because you're here. But if you're talking to your neighbors or your community members, please tell them. It's to give your community a voice and make sure you have equal access to the political process. We know that there's a lot of people that don't vote, and there's a lot of people that are not going to participate here. But if we can get some people in here to tell us, you know, where they live and what their electoral needs are, then we may be able to draw good districts, and that can actually increase voter turnout. So people may actually get interested and really become participants in the process. So, and then also, of course, you want to help shape a districting plan that provides a meaningful opportunity to elect candidates who represent you. So you want to have districts where you actually get somebody who will know what they're doing, where you can talk to somebody who will actually get you good representation. Please just take advantage of all the opportunities here, and there's many opportunities to participate in all of the phases of this process. Next slide, please. So here, this is a pretty exciting one. The city has opened districting access sites, and they are in three Chula Vista Library locations. There is one at the Civic Center branch, one in South Chula Vista, that branch, and one in Otay Ranch branch. and there is meeting space available. So if you want to get together with community members or neighbors, and you don't want to do it in your living room, and you don't have another meeting place, go there. They have space. You can sit down. There are computers there that you can use. There's internet there. It's free. And there's information available. And also, Jamie and I will be available to meet with you if you want to make an appointment, maybe with a few community members, maybe you're stuck on something, maybe you want to just find out more about the process. Please just let us know. We have a phone number you can call. You can. Do we have the phone number here? I'm going to put the phone number onto this PowerPoint so you know which one to call. So make an appointment. And when Jamie and I are in Chula Vista, we are available to meet with you. So just let us know when you want to do that, and then we'll meet at one of these locations. Next, please. So again, you can testify, you can submit written testimony, you can send us supporting information to the Districting Commission. Please, the most important thing, provide information about your community of interest or any other topics the Commission needs to know about. And the first deadline to send us information is on April 20. And it's on April 20, that's like 4 days before they start constructing the first lines, the draft, so that we can look at all of the information and make sure that the commissioners have had a chance to, you know, absorb it all, and that we have had a chance as technical consultants to digitize the information so it's all available when they're starting to draw lines. You can talk to us at a hearing, like today. You can send us something by mail, drop it off at the city attorney's office, or email it. We have an email address, which is districting@chulavistaca.gov. And please always check the city's website for news and upcoming meetings. There will be an interactive mapping interface on the Chula Vista on the Districting Commission website as well. So once we have drafts, they will be coming up on the interactive mapping interface. So you can take a look there as well. I think that's going to be very helpful. So finally, thank you very much for participating. We really, really appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Karen. I just want to inform everybody, we're very fortunate for having Karen McDonald and her Q2 staff helping us, because Q2 actually helped create the districts for the city of Escondido last year, and actually helped create the districts for the entire state of California, for the assembly, the state senate, and the congressional districts. So we're very fortunate to have her here. Now, the last housekeeping item is that this is a public, a special commission meeting, and so we're here to receive public testimony. In other words, all of you who want to speak to us to, again, convey to us your communities of interest and whatnot, please fill out this form. We have some in the back. Fill it out during our break and just leave it here on the table, and I'll call your name so that way you can come up and testify. And last but not least, I want to turn it over to our city attorney, Glenn Guggen, so he can make announcement, and then we'll take about, let's say, a 10-minute break, okay?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Couple comments before we break. I might as well stand up, although I'll be mostly addressing them. Hi, Glenn Guggen, city attorney for the city of Chula Vista. It's really been my pleasure and honor to provide legal support for this enterprise, really right from the very beginning, starting with the referral from the city council to the Charter Review Commission. It's been a fascinating and very important process, and really interesting. Slow down, really interesting to be a part of that. As the commissioner indicated, this is a public meeting governed by the Brown Act under the open meeting laws of the state of California. This is a legislative body who needs to comply with all noticing procedures and conduct to make sure that their conduct and deliberations are open and accessible to the public. this meeting is structured in a very interesting and I think constructive way with this group about to adjourn, in effect, to interact with you informally and with the consultant to answer some of your questions and give you some guidance and ideas about how you can provide your input about communities of interest. One of the couple of the guidelines, though, that I'd like to share with the group to think about to make sure that in that adjourned mode you are still complying with the Brown Act. I think, Mr. Chairman, you can direct them further as you see fit. You all are going to be breaking up, you know, into groups and in staffing, if you will, from a commissioner standpoint, these different interactive tables over there. It's important for Brown Act compliance purposes that you break up into groups of three or less. If a quorum of you gets together, that's an inappropriate gathering, you know, for Brown Act purposes, because you're not meeting completely in public with full access of everybody to the things that you might be saying. So as you break up, you can break up as you will, but two and three, I guess, you know, should staff if we've got three tables there, and you really shouldn't move around or interact, you know, with one another in that regard. You should also refrain in the same aspect of interacting, you know, with one another outside, you know, that group. Please also consider at this point, both for Brown Act and for due process purposes, refrain from stating your positions or conclusions about what constitutes a community of interest at this point, or frankly about any of the criteria that you might ultimately consider in making your map. We're now in a listening, you know, mode and gathering information. I don't mean to put a gag order on top of you. By all means, please encourage input, answer, you know, questions, interact with the group as much as you can, but we're obviously in a gathering information mode as opposed to conclusion mode. That will come later. So so long as you do that, you'll be okay, and then the commissioner will reconvene us, you know, for more deliberations. One other note, Mr. Chairman, that Ann asked me to make. If for some reason we know all this goes long and the lead up to this type of discussion and ultimately your testimony, you know, will take a little while longer still. If for some reason anybody needs to leave or is uncomfortable formally testifying, right, Mr. Chairman, there are these other mechanisms that the consultant identified for you to provide input. All of that will be given equal, the same weight as if you came and spoke, you know, at the microphone, you know, to the fully gathered commission. So, Ann, if you could maybe stand up and hold your hand up. If anybody has questions to follow up of what Karin presented on that or need to leave early, please talk with Ann or Joanne about different ways of getting that information into the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay, I just got corrected. So instead of giving you 10 minutes, we're going to give you 20 minutes. So feel free to, again, go to the tables, go to the maps, talk with each other, the commissioners, all of us, the consultants. So we'll reconvene at 15 after 7, okay? 15 after 7.